back to the message. Titus 1, verses 1 through 4 is our text. I want to talk to you today about a realistic hope. You know, God every so often puts it on my heart to share a message from the Word of God about hope. Because when I look, when I'm out and around and I see people's faces, what I see on a lot of people's faces today, even in the church, is hopelessness and despair. So we need hope from the Word of God, amen?
Amen.
All right, Titus 1, beginning to read in verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. And at his appointed season, he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God, our Savior. To Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your providence in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And we just pray that you would watch over your word to perform it today. Lord, put a watch over me as I bring this word of hope. I believe it's a word in season. And we just thank you for that, Lord. I pray that you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words you've ordained for this morning, Lord. Not a word more or a word less. And all to your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. But we've all lost hope at some level and at some point in our lives. Maybe it was our favorite sports team that gets so far behind in points that there was no hope in them winning. Maybe it was a little more serious than that. Maybe there was a time when you were without a job and couldn't pay your bills. Maybe it was a health issue and you felt there was no hope for you or a loved one. Maybe in some of the times it was so bad that you wanted to take the advice of Job's wife, who told Job to just curse God and die. We go through different things in life, and we never know what the next moment is going to hold, let alone tomorrow and the day after and next week and next month and next year. We have no idea what is going to happen. Paul uses the word hope three times in the book of Titus. Here in our text, and in Titus 3:7, which says, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And in Titus 2, verses 11 through 13, it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here he uses the word hope in regards to the glorious second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as I look at these scriptures and as preparing this message on hope, it really, really struck me in a deeper way than it ever had about the fact that no matter what happens in this life on this earth, we have hope in Christ.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, here's the key. We need to make sure that we always remember we are just passing through this world. This world, for true believers, is not our home. We're just passing through. And the older I get, the more I'm realizing that we pass through pretty quickly.
Amen.
The older I get, I'm recognizing this more and more. I can't believe where the time has gone. I think back, and it seems like yesterday that my wife and I were standing at the altar exchanging vows. And then we had our children. And then our children had their children. And now their children's children are having children and have made us great-grandparents. And it seems like it all started just yesterday. Do you get my point? We are passing through, and we are passing through fairly rapidly. So our hope must be rooted and grounded in nothing other than Christ. When that is the case, we won't be devastated too badly when our favorite sports team loses. It might sting for a little while. Might be kind of bummed. But it's not catastrophic. What's catastrophic is for someone to meet Jesus and then forget him and turn their back on him. That's catastrophic. All else is not catastrophic. It's unfortunate what happened to Charles. It is. It wrecked a lot of stuff. It wrecked their truck. It wrecked a lot of stuff. It's unfortunate. But it's not catastrophic, because at the end of the day, Charles is still going to heaven when he draws his last breath or Christ returns. If you take time to look up hope in the New Testament, you'll find that it occurs in the Bible 52 times in the New Testament. The word hope is in there 52 times in 52 passages. You will find that it is always connected in some way to God. Every single time it is used. Is your hope this morning rooted in God? Because that's the only true hope. A big fat bank account is nice. It makes life a little more comfortable here, doesn't it? But we can't put our hope in that. Because it could be gone in seconds. Romans 15, verse 13 tells us, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." You know, there's a lot in that. I could stop right there and preach for the rest of the allotted time that I have to preach right here on this material. Because there's a lot in there. May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as what? As you trust in Him. Do you truly trust God with your life? See, part of being a born-again believer is the surrender of our lives to Him. Which means then we are no longer in charge of our own life, but we are daily doing the best we can, even moment by moment, to follow after Him and allow Him to lead us in every decision that we make in our lives. I think it was 1969. The Jesus people came to Fulton, Illinois. How many of you remember the Jesus people? These people were radical. They didn't look good. A lot of them didn't smell good. I'm just being real, man. But these people got radically saved, put their hope in Christ, and took off without anything and went across this country sharing Jesus Christ. Yes, see, I'm old enough to remember this. I saw it. I experienced it. The thing is, I was too dumb at that point to understand enough to receive Christ. I still had to go through all the junk that I went through so that I could receive Christ as I was, when I was 25 years old. In 1982 instead of 1969. But the message was there. They were at the city park right up the road here. And they pulled up in there with a couple of vans. And I was down there. There was a tennis court down there then. And I was playing tennis. I got done with my set that I was playing. I went over and was kind of checking out. That's how I know they didn't smell too good either. But ironically, they gathered into a circle while I was standing there watching from a little bit of a distance. And they began to pray. And they must have known that they were reeking a little bit because they prayed for soap. I'm telling you the truth. They prayed for soap. They prayed for toothpaste. They prayed for every one of their needs because they had taken off to go across the country and share the good news of Jesus, thus the Jesus people. And God met every one of their needs.
Amen.
Because they had their hope where? There it is. There it is. They trusted Him. That inspires me. Does it inspire you? So that you may overflow with hope. Did you know that when we overflow with hope, it flows over unto all the people that are in our circle of influence? People like to be around people that really do have hope. And the joy and the peace that comes as a result of having a hope that's rooted in God. Because, see, when you have hope, when you truly have hope, then you have peace as well. Because you trust God. So the overflow of the power of the Spirit in our lives impacts the people around us. Everybody impacts people for positive or negative. I've shared with you that I knew a guy, don't try to figure out who it was, he's been dead for years. But when I used to stop at the local cafe down almost across from our house on 14th Avenue, and I would stop in there, and that guy would be sitting there on the stool. I'd stop to get something quick when I was running my shop, and gobble something down or have a cup of coffee quick. And I'd be having a great day, guys. Everything was going right. Everything I fixed was really fixed. Those are good days when you're a mechanic. And I'd go in there and I'd sit next to him for 10 minutes. And this person was so negative, there was a black cloud hanging over him. And I would crawl out of there. And when I got to my vehicle, I realized I couldn't think of any reason to live anymore. Impact! Impact! What impact are you having on the people around you that comes out of your walk with Christ or lack of? What impact do you have on people around you? Do they glean hope from you because of your influence? Or do they crawl away and say, I got no reason to live anymore? Hope connects us with the future just like memories connect us with the past. But what exactly is hope? One of the definitions I've read in the past for hope stated, hope is desire with the expectation of getting what is desired. I'll repeat that. Hope is desire with the expectation of getting what is desired. Okay, so if our hope is in Christ, then our hope is in His return for His bride, for which we are part of.
Amen.
And we have hope, according to this description of it, we have hope because of the expectation of getting what is desired, eternal life. Eternal life. That is where our hope has to be rooted, behind the veil, in the Holy of Holies, for which Jesus opened the way to us again when He paid the price for our sin. You realize Jesus opened the way to the Holy of Holies again. It had been closed to the average people. The only ones who could go in for a long time, guys, was the high priest, right? But Jesus opened the way for us into the Holy of Holies. That should give us all hope. We cannot hope for that which we neither desire or expect to receive. It requires trust. Sometimes our hope can be misplaced. There are those who hope to receive eternal life in heaven without acknowledging Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. People like that are all over. Well, yeah, I believe in God, and if there really is a God, then He wouldn't really send anybody to hell. Really? Where do they find that in the Word of God? But that mentality is out there. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. You run into that mentality all over. Go to a funeral that is being preached by a pastor that just wants to keep his friends, and that pastor will make it sound like everybody goes to heaven. Well, they're in a better place now. You don't get hope, and you don't give people true hope by lying to them. When I do a funeral, if I don't know for sure what the eternal destination of that person was, I just avoid it. And I preach what the Word of God says, and the loved ones can make their own conclusion. But I'm not going to lie and say somebody's in a better place if I don't know they are. Because I'm going to stand before a holy God one day and give an account. And if you lie to people and tell them it's a false hope, right?
Yes.
There are those who hope to grow in Christ without reading His Word or going to God in prayer on a regular basis. That's also a hope that probably will never be a reality. You don't grow in Christ if you don't get in His Word regularly and spend time communing with Him in prayer. Can't happen. There are those who hope to live happy lives even though they are living in rebellion against God. There is no true joy outside of Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I did some things that weren't right, and I'm just going to tell you the truth. I had fun doing them. If it wasn't fun, I wouldn't have been doing it. Is that real or not?
Yeah.
Is that real enough for you?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to tell people that sin isn't fun for a season. It is, but it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Because sin always takes you further than you want to go. And it always costs you more than you want to pay. Every time. All these are misplaced hopes, false hopes, hopes that are not founded or based in God. Are you getting it? You understand why I titled this realistic hope? There's all those other hopes, those other things that we could put hope in. I could cover false things forever and never get through scratching the surface hardly. There are so many things that people put their hope in and reject Christ. And He is the only true hope that any of us will ever have. But it's got to be rooted in trust of Him. Got to trust Him. Life can be very difficult and harsh. There are times we may think that it will not ever get better. But there is always hope, true hope in Christ, and there is no hope anywhere else. I want to give three reasons for the type of hope Paul mentions in our text in Titus 1, verse 2. First one is this. The Word of God gives hope. Romans 15, verse 4 says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Through endurance and the encouragement of Scripture, we have hope. This verse can be looked at in the context of both the Old and the New Testaments. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Are you lonely and depressed? Well, look at Elijah. He thought he didn't have a friend in the world. He thought he was the only one who still loved God. He was alone and depressed. God showed Elijah that things were not as bad as he thought. Be careful of assumption. It can steal your hope. Be careful of assumption. We have a tendency to assume many things that are not rooted in truth. That is why we end up worrying. We worry most of the time not about what is, but the what ifs. Is that true or not? Most of the time spent worrying is worrying about what if. What if? Not what is. What is, we just kind of have to toughen up and deal with, right? But the what ifs, that's something that you just can't battle. So we got to quit focusing on the what ifs and focus on who is. Amen. Because in that we have hope. We have hope that passes understanding. Listen, we are never going to understand everything that God understands. We're not always going to understand what God's doing. But He has called us to trust and obey. Trust Him, and when He so speaks, obey what He says. Even when it makes no sense. Even when it makes no sense at the time, if you know God has spoken to you to do something, do it. Because later, it'll make sense. Gotta move on, that clock is. Are you dealing with fear? Something in your life has gotten out of control. Well, let's take a look at David. He fought a 9-foot-6-inch giant and beat him. As the Bible states, if God be for us, who can be against us? Think about all the troubles he had with Saul. But he never gave up hope. He always stayed faithful to God. And you read the Psalms. David trusted God with his life. Because of that, he didn't let fear overcome him. What's an acronym for fear? False evidence appearing real. That's what Satan uses against us. He causes us to look at things and see false evidence and make it appear real. Are you being treated unfairly? Boy, we can all get our wine and crackers on then, can't we? Huh? Isn't that true? Well, that's not fair. Boy, that starts when kids are really little, too. Well, Billy has one. Right? What about Joseph? He was treated unfairly by his family, by Potiphar's wife, then by Potiphar himself, and the list goes on and on. Yet his hope was in God. He rose from prison to become the second most powerful man in Egypt, and God used him to save the very family that had turned on him. Wow! I never cease to be amazed by that whole story.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Are you in some sort of crisis? What about the situation Daniel found himself in? Even though he had done no wrong, he was facing a hungry group of lions with nowhere to run. He prayed because he knew where his hope came from. See, it was rooted in trust. He prayed because he knew he could trust God, even though he had a lion, several lions, apparently, right in front of him licking their chops. And he prayed. And the lions laid down and were at peace with him. He trusted God. Pray because he knew where his hope come from. The promises found in the Bible give us hope. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, if you're taking notes, Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. We must learn to be content in the situation we are in. We go through valleys in this life sometimes. Sometimes they are valleys created by poor decisions that we have made. Is that honest? And sometimes we go through them valleys because God has orchestrated it to shape us and mold us into the kind of people he's created us to be. Either way, his will is not to harm us, but to give us hope and a future according to Jeremiah 29:11. Right? So we can, even in the midst of that valley, you go look around, go out to the Rockies. You look up on the high places, it's rocks. Nothing's growing. Been there. You go down in the valleys, it's lush and things are growing. We grow in the valleys. However, the mountaintops are awesome while we're there. But the mountaintops can also be a problem for us. Because when we are, we have a tendency when we're on the mountaintop to let down our guard. You know what I'm talking about? Second big idea. There is hope in the cross of Jesus Christ. This message can never change. It's the foundation of all Christendom. The cross. Without the cross, there is no salvation. The cross is a constant reminder that someone does love us. That being Christ, our God. John 15, verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That kind of love should give us hope. I've had a lot of different friends over the years, but I've never had one that gave his life for me. And obviously I'm standing here. I haven't given my life for anyone either. But Jesus did. Jesus did. How much the Father cares for us and desires what is best for us should give us hope. Romans 8 in verse 32. Says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Our God is definitely not a minimalist. He blesses his people lavishly. Doesn't mean we won't go through hard times sometimes. Those valleys we grow in. But he always meets our needs according to his riches and glory. Always. The cross is a constant reminder that God will forgive us. I'm sick and tired of Satan lying to people. I've run into a lot of people over the years that feel that they have done something so horrific that they, or so many things that they, there's no way they can be forgiven. The enemy told them that, and they believe that, and it's a lie out of the very pit of hell. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when we repent of our sin and invite Jesus Christ to come into our life to be Lord and Savior, that slate is wiped out. But Satan don't want people to know that. So he lies. The Word of God is truth. It's why we got to learn to hide the Word of God in our heart. Because then when Satan speaks a lie, we know it's a lie. And you can just say, yeah, you can get on behind me, Satan. You're a liar, a deceiver, a thief. You came to kill, steal, and destroy. My Jesus came to redeem me, to give me life and life to the full. Right? Colossians 1, verses 21 through 23. Says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. How many of you were there before you met Christ? I know I was. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard, and that has been proclaimed to you, to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Gospel gives us hope. And third, the empty tomb gives us hope. If Jesus had not come out of the tomb like he said he would on the third day, we'd be here for nothing. We'd be wasting our time here today. But the fact that he rose up just like he said he would. Now we have hope. And we also have hope in the fact that he said, I'll be back. I know I didn't do that for you. I don't have the accent, but you get the idea. And he will be back. One day soon, the trumpet is going to blow. And he's going to appear in the eastern sky. And the dead in Christ are going to rise out of the graves.
Hallelujah.
And then we who are alive at that time will rise to meet them in the sky.
Hallelujah.
And will be with Christ forever and ever and ever because of the empty tomb. The resurrection of Christ assures me that I can change too. Many times we wallow in our sin, thinking we can't really change, that there's no hope. And that is not the truth. There is hope. Tell Satan to get on down the road, that he has no power over you anymore.
Amen.
Romans 6, verses 3 through 7. I know I've been hammering a lot of scripture, but the Word of God confirms the Word of God. You need to read in Romans 6, verse 3. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Let me stop there a second. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. The old order of things has passed away and the new has come. That really dovetails with the verse we just read, doesn't it? If we have been united with him like this in death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. That's powerful. This is part of one of the passages I use in the baptism class, obviously. Talk about baptism there. We talked about this in our baptism class on Monday night. If we have received Christ, we are a new person in Christ. As I just quoted 2 Corinthians 5:17. So that's not thus Pastor Wayne says. It's thus the Word of God says. Recognizing who Christ is and acting on that revelation brings us hope. See, it's a good thing to get a revelation of Christ. But we have to follow through and take those steps to act on the revelation we get. Faith without is
dead.
Yeah. You guys are, you're getting this, aren't you? You're getting it, yeah? John 11, verses 25 and 26. Gospel of John 11. Verses 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he said, do you believe this? So I echo that. Do you believe this? In conclusion, and it's 1 minute to 11. You realize how much material we covered today? I was going so fast, you guys were kind of looking like a deer in headlights. You look like you're drinking from a fire hose. I won't mention the two that I saw that were not. No, it's okay. I don't take offense. I get tired sometimes too. We have seen three reasons to have hope today. God's Word, the cross of Christ, and the empty tomb. Someone once said, life with Christ is an endless hope. Life without Christ is a hopeless end. Powerful. You get some hope today. You're going to leave here with some hope that you didn't have when you came in. Let's stand together. My people, I have redeemed you, and I call you today. Come to me out in the deep water. Step out of the security that is your security boat. I'm calling you. Step out on the water and walk to me, for you can trust me. For I am your God, and I created you, and I love you, and I have created all I have created for my good purpose. My children, you have heard my word today. Act on it. Great and terrible times are coming on this earth. But I am in control of all of it, so just never give up on me. For I do know what I am doing, even when you don't know.
Thank you.
I reveal myself to you and my doings to you when I see fit. But in those other times, I call you to trust me. Never doubt my love for you, my people. Never, ever will I leave you or forsake you when you are seeking after me. I will always be there for you because of my love for you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, as we leave this place, may we carry this word, all of it, this whole service, with us. May we ponder it. May we act on what we've heard. We thank you for the revelation that you've given us today. We thank you for speaking to us, Lord God, before we leave this place. Yes. And we pray that we are forever changed because of what we have heard today. And Lord, as we leave this place, our eyes are on you, and we long for the day of your return for your bride. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.